Today on Wings, the major national dialogue being held to restore peace in Cameroon.
When you look at all the lists of participants of this dialogue, even guests who had to be part, you realize that women were less than 20%.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
From September 30th through October 4th, 2019, a major national dialogue took place in Cameroon to seek solutions to the unrest and destruction that have plagued the northwest and southwest regions, especially for the past 3 years. The president convened the dialogue to permit nationals at home and in the diaspora to reflect on ways to meet the aspirations of the people and return normalcy to these zones. The Prime Minister held advance consultations with leaders of many organizations, including women's rights groups, and sought to include people from many different walks of life. Patience Wingo covered Cameroon's major national dialogue for Wings.
Since the beginning of the crisis in southern Cameroon or in the northwest and southwest regions in 2016, the abuses and atrocities committed by armed groups through threats, intimidations, robberies, kidnappings, rackets, rapes, mutilations, beheadings and murder of many people, the destruction of public infrastructure, burning of schools, markets and hospitals, and prohibiting pupils and students from going to school has terribly retarded the socioeconomic advancement of women and girls. The convening of the national dialogue by the President of the Republic of Cameroon, therefore, gave everyone in and outside the country, including women, the possibility of tabling their concerns and making proposals on how the crisis in the northwest and southwest regions and other problems crippling national peace and security in other parts of the country could possibly be brought to an end. Ahead of the holding of the major national dialogue, the Prime Minister of Cameroon, Joseph Dion Gauté, held pre-consultation meetings with representatives of many institutions and associations, among which those of women's groups. Most leaders of women's rights groups appreciated the government for including women in the dialogue process. The Cameroon Women Peace Movement, CAOPEM, is one of such groups, but the head of CAOPEM, Muma B. Yvonne, says she is dissatisfied with the number of women who were involved in the process.
I, together with members of my organization, the Cameroon Women's Peace Movement, CAOPEM, were part and parcel of the national dialogue. We felt concerned and wanted to sincerely participate in the dialogue, but we ended at the pre-dialogue level in the Prime Ministry. We were received in audience there and we had contributions to make towards the dialogue. We proposed to the Prime Minister that the dialogue that was going to hold should not end at that level because dialogue is a continuous process, and we said we were ready to help see to it that even resolutions that will be arrived at will be spread to the grassroots. We proposed a ceasefire and we had a strategy and mechanisms how they could get. So we proposed to be partners in seeing to it that actually arms are let down. Yes, we were received at the prime ministerial level, but during the dialogue itself, we could not attend because when we were even being received, we realized that invitations had been printed already, and those who were earmarked to be part of the major national dialogue had started receiving invitations, so we could not be part of it. Talking about women's involvement, when you look at the percentage, or you look at all the lists of even guests who had to be part or participants of this dialogue, you realize that women were less than 20%. This keeps recurring and we keep wondering. In the face of armed conflict, women and girls are the most affected. Women feel the brunt of war more than their male counterparts who are actually on the front. Women bear the burden of even burying. We saw our grandmothers digging graves today and burying. They are most affected when during armed conflict. But surprisingly, when it came to the dialogue phase, women were virtually almost absent. Of the 8 committees that were created at the conference center, only one was led by a woman, but just one that was not so strategic, because we needed to have seen women. Why not even 50-50 included in all these commissions? Because they have their specific needs and specific manners of addressing these needs. Yes, a major national dialogue held, and some proposals were made, because I don't think all that came out of the conference center were resolutions. We were expecting a degree of application, putting into place how those resolutions arrived at the dialogue will be implemented on the field. Till date, that has not happened. Yes, recently the Prime Minister published a list of people who are supposed to follow up the dialogue. Perusing through this list, I saw people who were not even part of the dialogue. How can they go and sensitize the population about something they were not even part of? I saw again on this list some people who were very, very against the dialogue, and it is politics as usual. It is like the Prime Minister selected just the people whom he thinks the population should listen to, but I don't think that is the case. We have major stakeholders. We have the clergy. We have civil society organizations who've been on the field, who've been clamoring for a return to peace, and who are closer to the population. Cameroon, first and foremost, is stratified in such a manner that the population know their leaders. In our communities, we begin from family heads to quarter heads to village heads. Why not use these people? Use religious leaders to bring to the grassroots what was arrived at. And what are these people even going to preach on the field when the resolutions have not been published? Except you have information, you are privy to information that I don't have. I have not seen the resolutions of the major national dialogue published. So how can the population, how can people go down on the field to sensitize the population about major national dialogue? I still think that the approach was all wrong, and another dialogue has to hold. This time, applying the bottom-top methodology, people should be consulted at grassroots. The leaders of the non-state armed groups should also be released from prison and given the opportunity. In the case of conflict resolution, all stakeholders' positions are considered and should be taken into consideration.
Muma B. Yvonne, head of the Cameroon Women Peace Movement. Another women's coalition, known as the Southwest Northwest Women Task Force, SNORT, had a handful of grievances on the plight of suffering women to table at the major national dialogue. Sally Bumien, the general coordinator of the Southwest Northwest Women's Task Force, says the role of the coalition was to lobby gross violations of human rights and atrocities perpetrated on women by parties to the conflict. She expressed mixed feelings with the participation of women in the major national dialogue. Hello, Sally Bumien. You're welcome on Wings.
Thank you, Patience Wingo.
You are the general coordinator of the Southwest Northwest Women Task Force, dubbed SNORT. You are interested in activities that can go a long way in improving on the livelihood of women who have been affected by the ongoing crisis in the Northwest and Southwest region. Is that right?
SNORD is a coalition of women-led organizations and women leaders who came together following the crisis in the restive regions to be able to contribute significantly in ending the current crisis in the region and to ensure women's participation at every level within the peace building process to find peace in the restive regions.
Coming back to the holding of the major national dialogue in Yaoundé, what were some of the proposals you made during the audience you were granted by the Prime Minister head of government prior to the week-long discussions at the major national dialogue that took place at the Yaoundé Conference Center?
We implored the Prime Minister, who was in charge in the organization of the national dialogue, to do a broad-based consultation with every faction involved in this crisis, to be more and more inclusive in their consultation, take phases of the dialogue. We propose a three-phase proposal to them, that is, the government should start with a dialogue that concerns directly those of the restive regions of the Northwest and Southwest. And we also said after they do that, there should be a reconciliation with other parts of the country, and they should end with looking at the possibility of living together in Cameroon by building social cohesion and unity of purpose and being.
That was at the level of the pre-consultation meetings. Were most of these proposals taken into account during the dialogue proper?
We would like to say as not that we were surprised the speed with which the major national dialogue went. We want to stay on the positive lane to say at least it was a dialogue, because all along our activism and our advocacy, we've been calling on inclusive and sincere dialogue from all parties. So calling for a dialogue of that nature, we were happy that there is a dialogue, but we really start some discontent concerning the dialogue, because first and foremost, as a women's group that is out to push on the rights of women and their participation in peace building and seeking the solution to the crisis, we were disappointed that women were not adequately represented during this major national dialogue. We did a random survey during the dialogue since we attended, and we discovered that women's participation was less than 15%. Then we were wondering, who are those who will be present to articulate women's issue within this crisis? Because during the crisis, judging from the commissions that were created, there were issues on return of refugees and internally displaced persons. Yeah. And you and I know that that group, women constitute a majority.
Yes.
They were talking about disarmament, demobilization and reintegration. And we know the fighters that are in this conflict, they are in the farms of these women.
Exactly.
These women are affected by these fighters. Either they live in their communities where they serve as mothers to them. Unfortunately, they were not present there to discuss this issue.
On Wings, you're listening to Patience Wingo's report about the major national dialogue held in Cameroon. During the event, participants were divided into 8 commissions, each representing a major issue. These were bilingualism, cultural diversity and social cohesion, reconstruction and development of conflict-affected areas, return of refugees and displaced persons, education and judicial systems, decentralization and local development, demobilization and reintegration of ex-combatants, and a commission of people from the diaspora. Again, here's Sally Mboumian, National Coordinator of the Southwest Northwest Women Task Force, SNOT for short.
They were talking about bilingualism and multiculturalism and social cohesion. All of these things concern women, as they have become pillars of the family and leaders of the society, and those who find themselves in these conflict-affected regions. So making a sweep statement on the dialogue, we will say women's issues were treated light-handedly, because I remember in some of the commissions where SNOT members found themselves, there was a lot of generalization on issues that when we try to make that gender should be mainstream in such a way that we have these aggregated data and statements that cover the different persons involved, it wasn't done in that manner. So
what you would have hoped for or wished for would have been that a separate commission would have been created for women, one centering on gender issues exclusively.
I wouldn't say that a commission should have been created for women, because women are not some weaklings who need special care.
Mm-hmm.
Women need special attention just like men do.
Okay.
But now making so much assumptions, that's where we miss the point. Gender should have been mainstreamed in all of the conversation. That means working with statistics and facts, with disaggregated data,
mm-hmm.
raising points and recommendations that are specific to our different specificities. Those commissions had the right to be the way they are, but the gender lens was not put on, because at those points, we were supposed to see a conscious effort made by the organizers of the Major National Dialogue to make sure that their participants are representative enough. Remember, there were different shades of opinion that came in for the Major National Dialogue.
Yes.
And I think all of this opinion have women who militate with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have had a conscious effort to make sure that the balance gender in all of this. Because if we do not work by mainstreaming gender in all of our actions, we are silently excluding people. But if we are taking a commission for gender for women, I think that is more exclusion.
Okay.
Because how much are you sure that the general body will consider the recommendations from this commission? Let us not fall the victim of maybe having a ministry like MINPROF,
yes,
where people only say, oh, there is a ministry for women's affairs. And at the end of the day, women are left in the cold.
Okay, so what you're saying is women were underrepresented in the different commissions.
They were largely underrepresented. I will give you facts of two commissions.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Commission for Decentralization, Commission for Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration. Within that commission, we had 92 people. And in those 92 people, we had just 14 women. What can be discussed in such a commission that is largely male-dominated that will follow up the issues of women? The Commission on Reconstruction and Return for Refugees had that same problem. We've sampled all of that and discovered that in all of the commission, women's representation never clocked 15% at the level of different commissions. So we were wondering, even when you listen to the recommendations, when it was read at the national level, at the end, the closing of the national dialogue,
mm-hmm,
we realized a lot of generalization was made. And that is justifiable by the fact that women were less represented. I mean, less than 15% means they were left out.
The government is aware of the fact that this is maybe just a beginning process to end the crisis in the Northwest and Southwest regions. So if you were to actually make proposals so that in the nearest future, if such an event is organized, what would you be proposing for government to do to bring many more women on board?
That is a good question, Patience. It is just a question of coming out with a policy statement that holds every party involved in this crisis to task to be conscious in their selection of leadership, representation of their different shades of opinion. SNOT remains the watchdog that continues to watch these actors and make sure that they respect the fact that women are an integral part of the solution and they have to be represented and their opinions voiced. Now, the government can decide to go right down at the level of grassroots, the different structures of our society, and get representation from there, where there will be this balancing. Not balancing just to take trash, but I know there are strong women out there who have voiced and are still voicing powerful solutions and contributions that if we decide to approach everything with a gender lens, we are going to have the finest sit on the table and contribute meaningfully. The government of our country and the other parties involved in the conflict cannot tell us that since the conflict has been rolling for 3 years, they have not seen women who can carry strong opinions, women who can stand and represent the people and tell their stories by themselves. Because it is a grave injustice. If these events are organized in this manner in future, then a whooping majority of over 50% is left out considering decisions. How effective would that peace building be? Secondly, the government should go back to its commitment that it took by ratifying the UN Security Council Resolution 1325, for which they have developed a national action plan through the aid of UN Women, to use that document so that everybody lives up to their commitment. In the process of organizing such an activity in future, time should be taken off to select participants in a representative manner. That I think if that is genuinely done with focus on who is affected and who can contribute to bringing peace, then naturally women will find themselves on the table making meaningful contribution in bringing lasting peace in these restive regions.
Are you aware of the fact that a team of officials are on the field right now trying to disseminate the information on most of the resolutions arrived at the close of the major national dialogue? Have you been able to go through the personalities involved to see if women are integrated in the process?
Thank you for the question, Patience. There is a caravan to explain the resolutions or the recommendations of the Major National Dialogue. I want to say that is a slap to women and it's a big blow. Mm-hmm. We took our time to examine that document. 72 people were nominated into that caravan to function within the 7 divisions of the Northwest region. And within the 72 persons, we have 14 women. Most of these 14 women, look at it, they have a party background. Okay. That is to the ruling party. We do not have a problem with our sisters who militate in politics, but we are coming to tell the government of Cameroon that in peace building, women's participation should transcend party lines. We equally need to have on board other leaders who are women in such a way that everybody identifies themselves with such a caravan. The injustice done to women makes the caravan look like an elitist group that will not address the needs of a rural woman, a woman living in the grassroots communities.
Thank you very much, Sally Bumien, for talking to Wings.
Thank you, Patience. It was nice talking to you.
A reliable partner of the Cameroonian government, which played a strategic role to groom women to better table their proposals, is UN Women. Cameroon's country representative, Hind Jalal, confirms.
We are striving here at UN Women together, hand in hand with the government, to give the response and to give the necessary support to these women and girls in terms of protection, in terms of the different services and referrals according to what they are needing. Are they needing medical services and legal services? We also put a special emphasis on economic empowerment so that they are empowered and they can build again their futures to support their families. The Major National Dialogue, we have been preparing it at least 1 year before it happened. We did not start the day before. We started late 2018. We developed some trainings for women in terms of mediation, peace, reconciliation, living together, activities to combat hate speeches, etc. And our major activity were to build capacities of women in mediation. And we built a toolkit, which is now we have it in English and in French, in mediation. And we conducted a training involving the women from all the 10 regions, and mainly the women from Southwest and Northwest. And this training unfolded in 2019 and will continue to unfold in 2020. So this is an unfinished business. This is a continuous process. We cannot from a day to another say that we build capacities of all women. This is something that takes time. And we have witnessed that women contributed to the national dialogue by their presence. A woman chaired a commission, education, out of 8 commissions. So this is something that we are happy with. But of course, we need more. We need more involvement to women as peace builders, as crisis managers, and so that the differentiated needs are taken into consideration while building peace.
Hind Jalal, Cameroon's country representative with UN Women.
Breaking news of innocent people dying. No, no, I don't want to watch any longer.
The government also used the opportunity of the Major National Dialogue to address other issues hampering the peace and security of the country. Dr. Simon Munzo, who headed the Reconstruction and Development of Conflict-Affected Areas Commission, now presents some of the short, medium, and long-term resolutions arrived at the end of the holding of the National Dialogue.
Our commission was charged with developing proposals for the reconstruction and development of the 3 regions that have been badly affected by the crisis, namely the Northwest, the Southwest, and the Far North. And the overall intention is to come up with a range of interventions that can help in the immediate, by which we mean within a period of 2 years maximum, starting from now. In the midterm, by which means a period of 5 years starting from now, and in the long term, 10 years starting from now, change the conditions of living in the affected regions. The projects to be included in phase one, which is 2 years, are intended to start immediately, but also to provide conditions for people to return to normalcy in terms of their livelihood. In that category, we have projects that compensate people, reconstruct bridges, where some bridges connecting our rural communities were destroyed. They need to be rehabilitated. In some places, things like water points were destroyed and so on and so forth. Schools, medical centers. So all that needs to be done so as to create conditions for the immediate revival of life in the communities, and therefore, which means for those who would have already returned. But in addition to that, there are some projects that will take a longer time to implement, but which also ultimately go to improve the conditions of living of our people. And finally, they have some structural infrastructure projects such as Ring Road and the Limbe Deep Sea Port and all of that. Overarching all of that is the concern to create employment, especially for young people. With that as a background, what our commission has done has been first to identify priority areas, second, list some projects that fall within each priority area, third, determine criteria for the selection of beneficiaries of those projects when it comes to implementation. Fourth, we examine the necessary funding in terms of sources of funding, where will the money come from. And finally, we also decided on a mechanism for following up implementation of the program that will derive from our recommendations. We had members of government and general managers of public corporations and so on there as resource persons. I know that the reaction of some people when they saw in the composition of committees the presence of so many ministers, they quickly said, oh, well, this is let that pass. But I can say, as having chaired a commission, that those members of government were a great asset to the commission because it allowed us to get reliable information up front. To come to the issue of funding, the primary source of funding, of course, would be the state budget, the budget of the state of Cameroon. But then there are other funding mechanisms, such as we will eventually appeal to our usual development partners, some of whom have already indicated a willingness into supporting the implementation of this project. So we believe that drawing from those various sources of funding, there should be enough money to implement this project.
Dr. Simon Munzo, who headed the Reconstruction and Development of Conflict-Affected Areas Commission of the National Dialogue.
No war, no bloodshed, just peace, no gunshot, no suffering, no martyrs. More love, no enemies, let's live in harmony, more joys, no agonies.
With or without the crisis, the wish of most women's groups is to take actions that can promote sustainable development goal number 5, that is to achieve gender equality and empowering all women and girls. Reporting for Wings in Cameroon, I am Patience Wingo.
The music in this program is by Afro-rock performer Gabby Shunt, whose sole theme is peace and unity for Cameroon. He issued his second album, Let's Be More, 3 months before the president announced the dialogue. Here's a little more from his song, Bloodshed No More.
Turn off the radios, turn off the TVs, we can no more stand bloodshed. Turn off the radios.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our website, wingsradio.org. Thanks to all our supporters, including Genevieve Vaughn, whose books include Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
I don't wanna hear-